Okay, we'll do it properly then. Just let me have a bit of wine and then we'll go for it.
Go on, okay. Steph, you're the profesh. Okay. That's how it's done.
I don't know about that. So hello and welcome to the very first episode of the She Who Dares podcast. I'm Sophie McGinn, one of your hosts, and sitting through a computer screen in front of me is two of my other rad mates, Amy Sparrow and Katie Gowans. Girls, say hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Do we wave?
Oh my God, this is exactly what they were talking about on the radio the other day. Like when you wave at the screen, it's like you don't do that to someone in person, yep. But for some reason we do it. Oh God. I take it back.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm lagging. Am I lagging? Sorry.
This is all great recording, by the way.
Are we not just starting again? Can you not start it again? I don't know how this works.
No.
Babe.
Oh.
No, just keep shit. It going. It's fine.
No, that's fine.
Oh, Kate, Kate's just chatting away now. Problem.
Is that Josh?
Yeah, I think so. I think she's sorted it out.
Josh wasn't using the Wi-Fi, so I don't know what happened. One person at a time.
Oh, well, we'll roll with it then. Yeah. Katie, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Katie. I'm from the UK, funny enough, but I grew up in New Zealand, hence the accent. Currently, I'm really into Married at First Sight, on set on my introduction, the Australian version. It's pretty captivating stuff, to say the least. So me and one of my friends have been kind of hooked on that for the last 3 weeks. I enjoy jam shed red wine, recommend it 100%. And I'm just here for a fun time.
Love it. Yeah. I'll follow that, but I've got to try and follow that up now. So I'm Amy, and as people did point out to me, I think Nikki Malin pointed it out, I didn't tell people on my intro that I'm obviously a massive Leopard Queen fan, but I'm actually not wearing any today, so I kind of feel bad now that I've also not doing that. Normally I wear everything leopard print.
To be fair, I can actually see some in the background of, we've got like the software we use is like a Zoom. It's go down. It's down there on the sofa. Look to the side.
Where?
Your left. Is it your left?
Is it? Oh, that... What, this?
Yeah.
That's actually my washing that's drying, so it's really good that it's on camera. Trying to get that onto the screen. Flat life. I sort of don't know. Obviously, I spoke about really liking alcohol. It's my little gin collection behind me. Mm-hmm. And I worked with Sophie probably in motorsport now for like 10 years. And we've been doing it for 10 years. And we've sort of only really begun friends the last couple of years. This is the first time Katie and I have met actually ever. So this is great as well.
Yeah, amazing.
It's so mad, isn't it? Oh, she's frozen. No, she's good. She's back.
I'm so sorry.
I think
guys.
She just got a smiling face.
It just freezes. Like, it's so, that's so funny on like Zoom work calls where you're just constantly being like, has someone heard me? Or that is our lives now, right? Just constantly on Zoom. I don't know if either of you are back in an office environment, but
yeah, I've been back in an office the whole time. Oh,
really?
Yeah. I had 3 weeks off after lockdown and then I was straight back into it. So yeah, it's been pretty normal for me, to be fair. So yeah, I'm pretty lucky.
I'm not used to having lack of human interaction. So when it was like, let's do a podcast, I was like, yes, great excuse to socialize of an evening and do something work related, obviously. So
I'm hoping this will turn into a bit of like a fun thing rather than it feeling like work, which is good. So fingers crossed.
So your glass of wine is epic. It is so large, like compared to mine. It's almost putting mine to shame. Look at the size of it. Mine's in a chalice, but yours is in a goblet. Like, look at it.
To be fair, I actually, like, if I move it closer to the camera, it's about the same size as my actual head. So we're not far off.
Is that needed to get to the podcast?
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be a gin glass, to be honest, but here we are.
I was going
to
say, when does a wine glass become a gin glass?
So, if you haven't already gathered by a little bit of our intro, we've probably mentioned that all three of us are a little bit crystal crazy. Now, some people might call this a little bit woo-woo. I don't know if you two have heard that, but I've heard it from a few of people that I've spoke to. They've kind of gone, what? You like rocks and you like stuff like that, that just you put them in your bra or in your pockets and things like that. But yeah, so we're all kind of into the crystal life. There's been a big new moon this week, girls. I don't know how you feel about that, but it has roped me off for a good at least 10 days.
I really am, like, I think I've noticed more in the last couple of years, and maybe it's because I'm being more reactive to it and acting on it. Mm-hmm. But my mood and my body is definitely in sync with the moon, which is really strange because sometimes I feel really strange. I'm like, why do I feel so weird today? Like, what is wrong with me? And then I'll go on to, for those who are like new to the moon side of things, I'd highly recommend going and seeing Kirsty Gallagher on Instagram or getting her Lunar Living book. I think you guys have got that book, haven't you?
But yeah.
She's incredible. And I always go and check her Instagram and I'm like, what is happening today? And I go and check her Instagram. She's like, the new moon, like, because last week, like you said, I was written off and I was actually really, I was a bit of a miserable cow, to be honest. So I was like, what, why am I sad? What's going on? And then I tuned into it and I was like, oh, and it's all to do with, so the Pisces new moon, which is what it was to do with the end of like that zodiac year. And now we're heading into the next one. So we're heading into Aries, which is happening now. And it's all about closing things off, letting things go. So you naturally, whether people notice it or not, are releasing things and also trying to cultivate new habits. And it's pretty much tied in with spring, right? Yeah. So Sophie, I think you sort of felt that too, didn't you?
Oh, I literally, the whole week, I've been waking up most mornings, probably 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And normally, like, I need to get my sleep. Like, if I don't get my sleep, I'm the grumpiest cow on earth. Like, it's horrendous. But if, like, just the whole week I've woke up and it's been bang on 4 o'clock and I've just been bing, like, I think we spoke about it the other day, didn't we, in the WhatsApp group, but
yeah.
I know, Katie, you said that you'd been feeling it as well this week.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've had stuff going on anyway where I had to have a couple of things done in like hospital and stuff. So that made me feel rough. But I mean, yeah, me and Sophie were kind of like talking about dreams and things, and for ages now, dreams have not been something that have been on my radar. Like, they've not been very kind of poignant to my memory, or I haven't woke up and remembered it. But I had a few nights where I just woke up and it was so intense. Like, I had the whole dream where like your spouse cheats on you and you wake up and you're like, and it's just like, oh, you wake up and you're like, oh, how could you do this to me? And obviously it hasn't happened, and you message them and tell them, and they're like, Josh is obviously like, what the fuck? Like, you know, I didn't do anything, sort of thing. I'm like, I know, but it made me really emotional. And it's just like, it's just been so, they feel so real, and it takes you almost a day to get over them. But I don't know if you girls have it, like, you'll wake up some mornings and it's so vague, but then as the day goes on it becomes like clearer and clearer, and you start remembering things, and it's like, it's just, it's crazy. And I haven't had that in ages, but yeah, last week specifically I had a couple of nights and they were just gnarly dreams. Like, honestly, yeah, they affected my day real bad.
Katie, is this not your star sign that the new moon's fallen into?
My star sign's Capricorn. So
you're Capricorn. And who was the Aries or the Pisces that we spoke about?
I'm an Aries, but it affects everyone in different ways. So I've got like a, this year I've got a moon diary. So it tells you every single new moon what what the effect is going to be depending on what house it's in. And this is going quite deep into the moon now, so we can probably go into this in more detail another day, but it affects each star sign differently, and so you'll each have a different aspect. So some months I'll have really vivid dreams where I actually have dreams where I'm like, am I a psycho? Am I okay? Because I'm waking up thinking I've murdered someone, and they're so real. You're like, what? And like you said about the cheeky thing, I've had dreams like that before as well. And they're so vivid. The whole day you just feel like this horrendous person, or you just feel really weird. Mm-hmm. But that, it also depends on what where your moon is at or where your star sign is at within that. So I've had really weird dreams this week, but not as vivid as yours. And that's probably because of where your sign was at in relation to the moon. So, but waking up early, I've definitely had that.
You try and delve into it as well, don't you? Like, is it my subconscious? Like, have I got some irrational fears going on that I'm not aware of that are coming out in my dreams? And it's like, there's so many different contributing factors sometimes, isn't there, that you don't know which one's kind of having the biggest impact on your subconscious almost. It's just like, what's going on?
Yeah, you question everything, like, what, I like, am I okay, is something gonna happen to me? Yeah, it makes you feel confused for like a whole couple of days, isn't it? It's not even one day, it'll be like a couple of days, and you're just questioning everything about your life. So I do understand that.
I often think as well, like, I've only kind of delved into the astrology thing and the moon cycles and all that sort of stuff over the past couple of years, but now I've kind of learn a little bit about it and look back on my previous years of life, I've thought, God, yeah, actually, I've done that, because I'm not blaming things on the moon, obviously, but oh, God. I always go, Christ, I was acting crazy, or I was acting a complete psycho because of this, and this is why. It's not justifying being a psychopath, but
that's how I justify it.
It almost kind of helps you, makes you understand and process where you're at almost. I mean, it's helped me over the past couple of years kind of process and understand feelings in a way. It's kind of gave me, you know, as a woman, you get that really intense gut feeling, you know, when something's wrong, or you that really intense, like, you know, it's literally like a punch in the gut, and you think, oh, hang on a minute, I need to think about this, or I need to look at it. And it almost gives you that bit of reassurance. Is that the right word? Yeah. I suppose.
Yeah. To like go with it, to sort of source it out. Yeah. Definitely, because years ago they used to have, I can't remember what they called it, but basically they used to gather women together at the time, I think it was the new moon or the full moon. And if you're on your period, it was so that all women could have their period at the same time. It was like a big sisterhood thing. Mm. So actually the moon has been something people and women work with for years, and it's like a feminine energy, isn't it? So you're working with it in that sense. And that's why it affects women more than men necessarily, but it still affects men too. But obviously it does affect women a lot more. And that's why I think now there's people have kind of gone to it more the last couple of years. I think as also society's been changing and how things are viewed, I think people are leaning more towards it. And I always joke about it, and I'm like, I obviously always say I'm a witch, and I always put it on my Instagram and stuff, because sometimes it's easier to say that than it is to explain this level of it, because not everyone's open to it, are they? Not everyone's like interested in hearing about it. So I just generalize it by being like, yeah, I'm a witch and I work with the moon and I've got crystals, which I'm actually wearing now. So got some more crystals on, guys. One here somewhere. I've lost it within my top, but crystal power. So yeah, I think there's more of a calling to work with it now than there ever has been. And more of it, people are willing to understand it a little bit more. Whereas there's a period of time where people just didn't really get it, and it was all a bit behind the scenes.
Yeah, I feel like with like just the internet and everything, we live in a world where everyone's so much more open-minded to like receiving new concepts and information, aren't they? Like, I'm such a novice to it, but it's something that's been kind of in my life for years and years because of the people I surround myself with, but I've never kind of delved deeper into it and kind of read up on it and learned more. It's just kind of through talking to people what I've learned, but I find it it's just so interesting, and so much of it makes so much sense.
And like you say, it's a really great excuse when you feel like you're being a psycho. You're like, it's the moon.
I'm gonna try that one next time. Oh, I'm gonna let you know what Josh thinks.
Think They do say, apparently, they get more hospital admissions on a full moon than any other time of month. That's a fact.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. So just like, because they say it makes people go a bit mad, don't they? That's why the lunatics come from, like, so yeah, it's all to do with that. But they apparently that's a genuine statistic somewhere.
I did not know that.
Yeah. No, fact, every day's a school day, guys. Yeah. Stick with me, you'll learn loads of stuff. Weird stuff, but...
I know one of my friends actually messaged me today, and she said that when she left college, she went to work in a care home, and she said they used to joke about it being when it was the full moon. They used to say, because all the residents, like the older residents, they used to go a bit mad, and she said they'd be doing all crazy. I said, how did they kind of react? And she said, well, they just used to go crazy. She said it was like they'd put something in their tea.
I mean,
I don't know if you've delved much into it, but when someone is obviously older on in their life and they're getting closer to the veil, or the veil, I mean, passing over, as it were.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're very susceptible to, one, the moon, and two, if there's anybody coming to visit from the other side of the veil. So that, she said that 10 times out of 10, that would most likely happen when there'd be either a full, I think she said it was a full moon. Yeah. More of a full moon. It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. It's such a powerful energy. And I think that, like, some people that listen to this will probably be like, what are they talking about? But I really encourage you, those people that are listening and that aren't into it, just to spend maybe 5 minutes just looking into it a little bit, because I swear it will change your life. It's changed mine since I've started working with it. And like I said, yeah, I don't openly talk about it properly, but I always talk about it with you guys. So, and I've like got this little moon journal now, and I'm trying something this year where I'm trying to have more of like a definite, that trying isn't a good word, is it? I'm definitely working towards being more aware of it on the new moon and full moon, and doing like little rituals and stuff, which I wouldn't normally have done last year. But I'm like, no, this year I'm going to really make a point of it, because obviously it's been quite a miserable start to the year. So it's kind of having something nice to look forward to doing as well. So it helps definitely when you're feeling a bit shit. Are we allowed to swear? We are allowed to swear.
Yeah, you can say whatever you like.
I was going to say, I think I've already dropped an F-bomb.
I'm trying to be
anyway,
really polite, but my mouth... Thank God you're the first one, because then it'll just open the gates for me to do it, so it's fine.
Katie, I know you mentioned to me before when we've been randomly talking about crystals and stuff, back in New Zealand, you said that like going crystal shopping used to be a bit of a thing with your family.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'm from a place in New Zealand called Auckland, and about an hour's drive away, there's this place called Ngātia. I mean, I don't know if anybody in New Zealand's listening. I know a few people have subscribed on Facebook and whatnot, which is awesome. But yeah, it was, I mean, I don't know if it's still there, but there was this massive crystal shop, and it was just amazing. Like, it was about two or three huge rooms, and me and my sister would save up our pocket money. And, you know, every so often as a treat, my dad would drive us there and, you know, would get to pick out some bits and pieces. And it's always been something that me and my sister have really, really loved and been interested in. And I remember the strangest thing happened to me when I was about 8 or 9. We had these family friends, and one of the ladies, Jane, she was very spiritual and very into her yoga, and she was just the loveliest woman. And she took me to this crystal night with her friends one night, and they had all these different crystals. And I just remember picking up this quartz, and I just held it between my finger and thumb. And I swear to God, I could see my aura. And it was the most, like, and this as a, you know, 8-9-year-old, I was just looking at myself like, you know, obviously, like, it was trippy. It was just like, what is going on? But
that's amazing.
Yeah. And I was just, it was just a tiny little crystal. And the woman said to me, like, you need to keep that. That's yours, sort of thing. Like, and I just, that was my earliest memory of having this kind of real amazement and astonishment from a crystal actually giving me something other than it just being this pretty thing that me and my sister used to kind of collect and buy. And yeah, it just took it to another level for me. And I was like, that is awesome. I didn't understand what was going on, but I just thought, this is so cool. Like, what on earth? So yeah, that, like, from an early experience, I had this kind of, yeah, this, you know, interest and yeah, some weird kind of acknowledgement for what they were capable of, without even realizing it, I suppose, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've kind of been longing for that experience, if you know what I mean. But I've had like different experiences with crystals. So for a long time, I didn't realize I was collecting crystals for a long time, which I know sounds really strange. But you know, when you're younger and you think things are pretty.
Yeah.
So for a really long time, like we went to like gift shops and my mum used to be like, do you want anything? And I'd go and pick up what I now know to be a rose quartz. And I was like, I want this. And she'd be like, it's a rock kind of thing. Like, wasn't really into it. But anyway, she used to get it for me. And I was a little weird kid that used to just collect these little stones, as I called them. And then years and years later, I'm talking like a good 12 years later, when I started understanding what they were, I would literally find them everywhere. So obviously at some point I thought I got rid of them as a kid. And I remember unpacking my stuff when I first moved into my house in Dorset. And I was like finding all these rose quartz and things like that. And I was like, when did I collect these? And then it'd be weird, like I would get gifted something and it'd be rose quartz. And for a really long time, I was like, what is going on? Why am I attracting rose quartz into my life? And I saw a medium and she was basically saying that, because rose quartz is about love, right? Yeah. So it's meant to be about making you find love, etc. But it's also about loving yourself. And she was like, you don't love yourself enough. That's why you're attracting it. So it's basically trying to encourage you to love yourself. And I was like, whoa, that's quite deep. Because I was always like, well, I'm not finding a boyfriend that's very good. So what is going on with me? But she was basically saying it's coming to you because you don't love yourself enough. And then you should attract what you want as a result of that. And I was like, wow. And then I also found a massive, I don't think it's in here actually, it's in another room, but a massive amethyst once when I was clearing out a house that I was like clearing out to move into. Someone had left their stuff there. And in this box was just a huge amethyst. And I was like, well, that's mine now because you found me. So
you found that in a box? Crystals meant,
yeah, how weird is that? It was literally in like a cardboard box full of like books and stuff. And they'd obviously just shoved it in there and forgotten about it and left
that's
it.
That's amazing.
And I just pulled out. It's like a heart shape. It's in my bedroom. Oh. And it's a huge raw amethyst.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, it's nuts. And I've kept it. I got that about 10 years ago. And that's meant to be really like good for loads of different purposes, like sleeping. You're meant to put it in a room in the house, like your lounge or your bedroom, so it cleanses the air. Mm-hmm. And then obviously when it's a full moon, you're meant to put it in the window to cleanse it as well. This is probably way too much for some people, but I think I've always wanted that experience where you had it and you held it and had that, because I saw a witch years ago and I had a weird experience with crystals. I've been to see some crazy people, guys, like really crazy people. The craziest sense where it's like, I didn't believe it until I was there. And then afterwards I tell people and they're like, that isn't real. You didn't have that experience. And I'm like, I definitely did. Definitely lived through it. And this witch like crystal healed me and it didn't seem at all or anything, but they put my hands in this crystal bowl. And I remember being like, this is really weird. And they put all these crystals on top and they were like holding me. And my arms were like, and I was totally in disbelief. I didn't believe crystals worked at this point. And they basically were talking to me about just absolute crap about my day and everything. And while they were doing it, they were like pressing on my hands with these crystals. And I suddenly felt my arms shaking. And I thought it was because my arms were like balancing really weirdly. So I'm subtly, while he's talking to me, trying to like just put my arms down to be like, oh, maybe I'm just not resting them properly. And I'm obviously just moving really strangely. Honestly, they were shaking so much. I've never experienced anything like it. And that is, after that, I was like, I'm sold. I totally believe in it. I've never had anything like that. And they weren't vibrating or anything. My arms were just shaking. Yeah. And I can't even recreate it because it's something that you just have to sort of experience.
Yeah, it is amazing. I was talking to one of my friends tonight, actually, on the way home from work quickly. And she was, she's having a really hard time, bless her, at work at the moment. She's like, Katie, you would have been so proud of me. She's like, last Friday I went home and I lay on my bed and I put crystals on all of my chakras and I just lay there for half an hour and it made me feel so much better. I'm like, oh, that's so good. But I didn't even realize that they teach like crystal healing and beauty in college over here and stuff, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real thing now. Like people used to really like poo-poo it, but now it's like a big thing. And like you've got the crystal face rollers and stuff like that. Like I've got one of those. I don't know if I'm so sold on that, to be honest, but I like all the other stuff. So,
oh mate,
yeah, it's way bigger than it used to be.
Put it in the fridge. Game changer.
I think that's what I need to do.
Yeah, pop it in the fridge. Get your face mask on. Take that off, and then put a little bit of moisturizer on. Ooh, roll your face.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I need to set up more beauty therapy time. That's why I need a ring light.
So we had this conversation before we got started recording tonight, because I've got a box of crunchy nut underneath my laptop to try and lift it up a little bit, and then also I've got a saucepan behind it to hold the ring light up a little bit so we can see each other a bit better. Katie, you've got books and boxes and all sorts under your laptop. Boxes,
yeah.
Amy, I think you're balancing on like some sort of random metal thing out the kitchen.
Yeah, it's literally like, you guys made it look like a really professional setup with your ring light. And I was like, oh, I didn't even think about a ring light. And I've got like a box of stuff I ordered today, some coasters and a like a heat balancer thing in from the kitchen. I was like, mine is just not a professional setup compared to your guys, but it's fine. We'll get a ring light for the future. It's fine.
Oh, gosh. Well, hopefully over the next few episodes, I've set us up a Patreon, which is what I wanted to talk to you girls about as well, because I didn't, as much as I wanted to tell you today, I wanted to get your reaction straight up. So my yoga teacher, Amanda, she has given us a offer to add and give to our Patreon guests. So she is offering 4 yoga sessions for €20. She's based over in Ireland, so it's all through Zoom and online. So she's offering 4 yoga sessions for €20 to our Patreon subscribers. How cute's that?
Oh, that's amazing.
That is cute. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I know. So I've been training with Amanda for, God, I think I've said to you girls before about going on Amanda's online yoga classes, because she introduced me to the cacao and things like that. So that's a whole other episode in itself. We'll delve into that. But she, yeah, she's just really good, really relaxing. And actually, you said about the divine feminine before. She's just delving into all that at the moment. So she started yoga classes for pregnant ladies. So yeah, she's really, really good. And I'm so, so grateful that she's actually, well, decided to join in. I think we're going to get her on an episode over the next maybe 2 or 3, I think.
That's just reminded me, like yoga, I remember my first experience with yoga, I was about 19 or something, and I felt just so inadequate and uncomfortable. It put me off, and up until lockdown I'd never ever tried it again. And me and Josh actually ended up doing a 30-day yoga thing just through YouTube, and we got so into it. And now I love it. Like, I've got this newfound appreciation for it and what it actually does for like you mentally as well as physically. And yeah, it's awesome. And you see, you know, even like sports people, they rave about how long it, you know, expands their career for and things like that. And yeah, what it can do for your body and mind is just brilliant. Like, I absolutely, a convert, 100%. I love it.
I was just going to say, I suck at yoga, but I have been doing it in lockdown. Because like you say, it's a little bit like when I've been to classes, there's women there that I'm in awe of because they are incredibly flexible and bendy. And I'm my motocross body, because of years of just beating myself up and breaking every bone.
Same.
It just doesn't bend the same way. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, it's not really moving that way. So I stopped going because I was really embarrassed that I was so inflexible. But or unflexible, inflexible, whichever one.
Yeah.
And then I just started doing it at home. I did a bit of, there's a thing called Pio that was around for a bit, and I did a bit of that too. And actually, you're right. When you're at home in your own environment and doing it, it is so much better, because you're like, I can just wear the most hideous fashion to like do this. I wear whatever I want anyway, as you guys know. But wear whatever they want in another sense, and it's just comfortable because you don't have those other people there that you're intimidated by, which actually you shouldn't be intimidated, but it is intimidating, isn't it? It's a strange boundary.
I know when I first started, I was always, like you say, Amy, like motocross injuries, your body is, you feel about 80 years old when you get up in the morning. It's not good, but we deal with it. One of the reasons I started with Amanda, she started doing online classes and bits and bobs, and she does some amazing yin yoga classes, so that it's really relaxing. She does them at about 8 o'clock at night, so it gets you ready for bed. So I quite often, I already have my pajamas on, get some fluffy socks, my dressing gown, and I'll actually do the yoga that way. And she encourages that. So she's really good at explaining different poses. If you struggle how to, you know, sit in a certain way or jump around in a certain way. But yeah, she's really, really good. So Amanda's Vibes, thank you so much for giving us a little amazing Patreon discount to everyone. And just during that, Amy, was Luna, your cat, just jumping all over you?
Literally here. She cannot resist. Say hi to everyone, Luna. Look at her.
Hey, Luna.
Oh, she's so cute.
Hey. She's just a little fat chub. Look at her. Massive unit. And she just constantly wants to be on camera. She's such a tart. Like, any excuse, any video call, she is there. So, but I'm now covered in cat hair. But it's that time of year where they're just molting and you're like, It's really nice. But it's fine when you're not with other people. But I go out and forget about it now because of obviously being in lockdown still. I go out and I'm like, I'm literally covered in cat hair. It's so embarrassing. So got to sort that out before I go out in public, like when we're officially all allowed to meet up again. So.
This is one of the things I wanted to dive into because obviously, without sort of putting a tone on the podcast, but what's happened this past week with the whole Sarah Everard case has been absolutely devastating. Like, I cannot explain. As bad as it sounds, sometimes when you see these things on the news and you look into it a little bit, and obviously it's always quite sad when you see a murder case or something like that, but for this, I feel it's almost hit home with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And like, I was reading, I was awake the other night, late, of course, and I was just flicking through Twitter, having a look what was going on. And I saw the stuff that was going on with the police in London. And, you know, they'd gone to set up a nice vigil for Sarah in Clapham and the police had turned up and there was all this crazy stuff going on. I just feel like me and Stuart were talking about it earlier, and I feel like it just needs to start that conversation.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I feel like it's shone a light almost on something I was always aware of and not happy about, but almost it was just the social norm. It was like, I'd go out to a bar on a Saturday night and I want to have a good dance, and next minute some guy is grabbing my ass, and it's just like, I then instantly, my reaction is to defend myself, and it's just like, I'm the psycho, like, and that behavior is meant to be normal and acceptable. And it's just, you know, I've had occasions where I've been, you know, harassed in a workplace where people have commented on me physically and things like that, and I just think this is meant to be my professional place of work, where I'm meant to, you know, be deemed as most professional and feel most comfortable almost. And it's just like, I feel like it's really finally struck a conversation between females, where actually I don't think any woman knows another woman that hasn't been in a situation where they've been harassed or felt intimidated or automatically held their keys in their hand a certain way because they've been scared walking home or to their car. And it's just, it's just kind of, like I said, shone a light on something that's always, always been there, but it's like, enough's enough. And, you know, we don't have to accept this behavior anymore and we don't have to be subjected to it anymore either. It's definitely struck a nerve with me, absolutely.
Yeah, I know I've had experiences in the past, like we've touched on it before, Amy, because effectively we're in a very male dominated industry. We get quite a lot of comments on even just showing up to places, like you find that you go to ride your bike at the weekend and you'll get a comment or two or things like that. So I feel it's almost, I want people to have the conversation. I want guys to have the conversation. I want men to sit together and have the conversation about how they feel this affects them in a way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that 97% figure did not shock me.
Mm.
You know, Like that didn't it surprised me. It's not 100%, to be honest. Like whatever that 3% is just probably not documented as far as I'm concerned. Cause yeah, it's definitely a conversation that men need to be having. And it's like, you know, a girl on my Instagram literally this weekend put something on her story saying she was just walking, you know, back to a taxi from town, and some guy shouted from a bar or, oh, I'd love to fuck you or something, like across, you know, the viaduct where everybody could hear. And she was like, none of his mates said anything. And that's the conversation that needs to be had. Like if someone's acting like a dickhead, call them out on it. Don't just laugh because it's not cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's real tricky, isn't it? Because, well, it's not tricky. It's tricky because I think we've been like our generation, because we're all like early 30s, right? So I think our generation have kind of been brought, like you said, to kind of suck it up and accept it, which actually is not okay. And I've definitely experienced all of this throughout my career, like you're saying, Sophie. Like I experienced it pretty much on like a, sometimes on a, well, it was on a weekly basis. And I feel like the last year I've been involved in like roles where actually that hasn't been such a thing, because women are seen as slightly more equal, if you like. But I've definitely had it in my past roles, and I think that I have it a lot of motocross as well. And also it's like other, weirdly, which is maybe where the women, like women supporting women is coming in a bit more now. It's like everyday sexism with women sometimes, right? So when I rock up to a motocross track, sometimes if I've been in a queue with like a kid or the kids in front of me, they think I'm like the mum or something. And they don't even think I'm there to like ride. It's just weird little things. But actually like, and sometimes guys then latch onto you if they think you're there on your own. And it's a bit like, whoa, I don't need you. Like I'm cool. Like I don't need you to sort of rescue me. I'm doing this because I want to do it and I'm on my own. I don't need a guy. But yeah, I think that there's like, I think moving back to Dorset, actually, I don't experience it as much, but I did walk through the park the other night on the full moon. I've been to do like a little beach ceremony with some other friends. Mm-hmm. And I was walking back through a park that's known as being a bit dodgy, but it was moonlit. So I was like, I'm cool. And I passed a group of guys. They didn't say anything. They weren't lechy in any way. They, to be fair to them, they were all just smoking weed. And so they're on their own little high. But I actually, inside, it was that horror moment where I was like, oh my God, I'm on my own and I'm a female and there's a group of guys. And it was like, it's that fear, isn't it? Where you're inside, you're just screaming. But on the outside, you're like, I'm trying to be a swan and look like I'm really cool and I'm totally fine with the situation. But in my head, I was like, can I run? And then I was, do you know what you're just thinking? Yeah. It's that shouldn't be normal, should it? But I actually don't think, as sad as I am set, I think we're going to start making the changes now. But I don't think we're going to see the changes for a really long time, because I think I was saying this to you girls yesterday, wasn't I, on our group chat? But is it Generation Z, the one below us? They're the ones that like seem to just grab stuff and they're like, this isn't okay. Let's turn it around. Whereas I feel like we've come from like, we're the production of what would be known as boomers, where they kind of dealt with it all the time, didn't really worry about it. We've started questioning it. And then Generation Z are like, let's just smash that out of the park. We're not okay with it. If we start this, then everyone else is going to get involved with it. And I'm like, fair play, because it is something that needs to be addressed. And to a degree, I don't think we're ever going to get rid of it fully, but I think it's just managing it better. And I think it's really highlighted that we should be okay to walk home on our own. Like that should be a normal thing.
Yeah. We should be able to, like, in the wintertime after 4 o'clock, still be able to go for a run because it's not dangerous to do so. Like, yeah. It's just, it's things that you've always thought about, again, almost maybe subconsciously, like, but not vocalized, because we've just been produced for that to be the norm as we've grown up. And it's not been any different.
It's never been brought to the forefront.
No.
No. Mm-mm. And I think we're three strong females, right? We know ourselves, we're confident with ourselves. But imagine if that's a female where they're really not cool with stuff, they're really insecure, and a guy like cat calls them or something and they're like younger. That could really damage someone in terms of like making them feel really scared and like scared of men. And also, you don't want them to live in fear of you your whole life. Like, do guys think it's cool when they're like, I want to fuck you? You're like, oh yeah just sign me up, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, cheers, here's my phone, let's go.
You caught me at the right time. It's like, oh my God, yeah, me and my friend were only just running a couple of weeks ago and some like old guy in a truck tooted at us and we were just like, is that still a thing? Like, come on. But going back to what you said, Amy, it's like, that, yeah, that what can be a laugh for someone, like a few mates and stuff, that could be really, really triggering for that female. You know, you don't know what that person's been through and what potential damage has already been caused to them. And it's, you know, it comes back again to what we were touching on nearly a year ago about being kind. Like, it's that simple. Just practice compassion and, you know, thinking about others before yourself and your own ego, and just, yeah, just be kind and compassionate to one another. Like, it's that balance between kind of like passiveness and cancel culture and finding something really nice in the middle where, you know, we can just kind of just find a balance where people do speak their mind, but it's kind of also it's listened to at the same time, I think.
I've always said I'm not like a hardcore I'm a feminist in the sense of
sticking up, like, I work in a man.
Yeah, like I can stand up for myself. I work with men all the time, but I actually really like working with men. So I don't want to make it that women just dominate one thing.
Yeah.
But I think that there still needs to be a balance with stuff. And I think I really like working with, like, I work with some really kick-ass women, and that's really cool. And I equally work with men who I really, really respect. And I think that it's having that boundary. And like, the company I work for now, there's definitely a different vibe where the guys really are sort of in a very big space where they respect women and they don't understand the leering and things like that. And it's kind of refreshing because they're not essentially like an older motorsport group. And I'm not talking about every company I've worked for here, so before everyone starts panicking and I start getting loads of hate emails about this. But I would say I've noticed it more because it's like a younger generation of people I work with at this company. There's definitely a different outlook, and they're all of the same outlook that we are. And I think that attitude is going to definitely change. But motorsport as a whole, it's kind of out of date in how it views things, and it is changing. It's just changing so slowly, and it's just like, come on. And there's the recent case of, oh my god, I've totally forgot her name.
Shani,
you're gonna have to remind me.
Shani, yes, Pinfold. Oh my god. So Katie, I don't know if you know about all this sort of stuff. I posted a shit ton of stuff on Instagram about it.
Yeah, I like had a read into it after you posted about it, and yeah, I was just baffled. But I thought, oh my god, like, these are the kind of females that we need stepping up.
Mm-hmm. And to be fair, I have actually messaged Shani to see if she'll come on the podcast, because I'd really, really love to speak to her about this, because Shani is an unreal racer. She always has been. And the fact she's had enough of the shit that she gets for being a female racing and beating men, like, and she's now at the point of giving up. Well, she has, she's retired. She said, I've had enough. I don't want to deal with the shit I get anymore. That frustrates me so much.
Yeah. Cause she should be like paving the way, right? So she should be, not should as in like she has to do it, but to take that out of the equation because of how like unhappy it makes it is such a real startling and maybe a bit of a wake-up call for the motorsport industry to make a few changes. Because we are, like, I say we because I'm involved in it, but there is definitely an out-of-date view about it. And the amount of meetings I've been in through the last 10 years where they say women's racing is irrelevant, but now suddenly they're like all trying to latch onto the change. And I think it really frustrates me when they say women's racing is irrelevant, because actually that's the only room for growth, right? So the male market becomes saturated to a certain point. So where's the growth? And they're like, oh, it's a younger generation. I'm like, no, how many women are in the world?
Yeah.
There's all of this thing. I think brands are starting to notice that now, like Fox Racing, big shout out to them because they're definitely capitalizing on that and understanding that. And I think there's now some new things that are popping up where they're making like space for women to almost explore these hobbies. Because I think if you ask any women outside of like us three who've got access to bikes and stuff, how to get into it, they'd have no idea. But now there's like some places being set up. There's a Ladies MX Day. There's like Dave Thorpe School that encourages like ladies to have a motocross day. So there's all these tools now where women can go and like do the things they want to do and explore that if they want to do that, which wasn't around before. So for then someone to say this in Kawasaki and to be like, I'm leaving because I can't stand the shit, I'm like, how are we making so much effort but going backwards at the same time? I don't understand. Like, it shouldn't be happening at that level. Like, it shouldn't
be. There's even like little Olivia that Josh coaches. Like, she's just on another level.
Yeah.
She's just amazing.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, young women like that, young girls coming through, they need these women to look up to. You know, to say, well, if she can do it, so can I.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, Katie, just throwing it out there, we're going to take you to Dave Thorpe's women's school one day.
Okay.
You will love it. It's so much fun. I've recently
have
been.
Have you heard really what happened when Josh let me ride his trials bike?
No.
Oh, dear. My legs looked like a corpse afterwards. They were so bruised. I literally did something with the This is going to be like real novice talking now. So I did something with the clutch and the throttle or something, and I let one go, or I don't know. But anyway, I just went straight for this nettle bush and like came off the thing. Josh, how, like, why he didn't record, I don't know. That's the first thing he said. He said, "Are you okay?" And I really wish I recorded that. But yeah, it was, I did, to be fair, I did get back on it afterwards, and trials bikes don't have a seat, to my defense, but I will get back on a bike if the, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'm up for it. God help me.
Yes. He said yes.
That's it.
That's a yes.
Yeah. You will really enjoy it. I think, yeah, if you go to a place where there's other women doing it too and everyone's sort of in the same environment, it's so much better than maybe, like, and I, you know, guys always want to teach us stuff, and I learned from boyfriends and my dad and stuff like that. But sometimes just being with other women is just better, because you're like, we're all on the same page here. And we don't, like, guys have real, like, competitive element when they're with other guys too, whereas women, I don't feel, have that as much. They're much more willing to support you.
Yeah.
Mm. So if I saw someone struggling, I'd definitely get off my bike and help, whereas guys be, like, just roosting you. You're like, oh, cool, thanks. It's pretty helpful.
I just nearly knocked my mic over then.
She's like, yes, I agree.
Oh god. I'm gonna be having nightmares about this now, girls. Seriously, bloody hell. Giving me anxiety.
You won't, you'll be totally fine.
Yeah, you will absolutely love it.
No, to be honest, I do have a,
going back to what we were saying a minute ago.
Go on. I'm just going on random tangents. Please interrupt me.
No, I was gonna say, you were so right with what you said about having, like, someone to look up to, because when you hear that men saying female racing's irrelevant, but then you look at little girls at a motocross track like Olivia, and like the amount of times, and Sophie, I don't know if you've had this too, where they come up to you, like, I've had really young girls come up to me and just want to talk to me, because I'm like an older girl in motocross kit still doing it.
Yeah.
And it's so cool at that point to have that interaction. And I was at Western Beach Race and I was riding like an absolute tool, because I hated that whole race. It's so savage. One of the things that got me through it was, there's these two little girls stood at the side of the track, and they were literally like, go on! They were always looking out for me every single time I came around, which was like 3 times probably. And I just remember, and that's the one thing that made me carry on, because I was like, I've got to be a bit badass here, because these two little girls are looking up to me and I'm just like sulking at the side of the track because I hate it so much. So I was like, right, I've got to keep going, And I remember when I was little and I was watching girls ride, and that's part of the reason I did it, and like I wanted my dad to get me into it, because he took me to a motocross race and I was in awe of this girl who was just so fast, and I was like, I want to do this. And okay, I've never been that fast, but I've still done it, and I still love it, and I still do it to this day, which is why I'm like constantly broken and battered. But you need people like that to keep it going, and it also needs to get to a point where women's racing is respected at the same level as men's, which I think is going to be years to come, but it has to start somewhere. So it's got to start by making those changes now. So sorry, I'm very passionate about that. So I'll just
I agree with you.
No, I love that.
I need more wine. I've literally got to the point where I'm like, that passionate speech drained me of wine.
Do you want to go and get a top up?
No, it's fine. You guys, it's fine. I don't need more encouraging, because I'll just get drunk. So
mate, get a top up. Honestly, I'm still halfway through the goblet, so if you feel you need to go and get some.
How long does the podcast record for?
As long as you want. We're nearly an hour in, so.
Oh, love it. I'm just gonna go and get a top up, guys. Go on, then.
I love it.
Oh god, it actually feels nice to have a bit of girl time, doesn't it?
I know, yeah. It's like just a bit of normality almost, isn't it? Just to talk about like-minded things that we all kind of enjoy.
You won't be able to see this on the podcast, but Amy's just turned back up with a full bottle, so
But yeah, I found this really, really nice Australian Shiraz called Jamshed, and it's like the most palatable red wine I've ever tasted. And you're meant to, like, you can use it for making mulled wine and stuff, but honest to God, it's so good. But it's kind of, I like it so much that I can't drink like adult red wine now, if that makes sense. It's kind of, yeah, I can't go back to the kind of like full body. I'm on this like light red wine business. It's almost Spanish, I think, because you could have it cold as well. But honestly, if we could get Jamshed to sponsor this, I would be, yeah, they recommend serving it on ice.
Speaking about alcohol, we haven't even touched on Amy's gin obsession that she's got going on behind her.
It's quite a bad obsession. It is an obsession. What I should highlight is this one. Because Sophie, you sent me a thing about this other day, and you won't see this on the podcast, but I'm talking about Hendrix Luna Gin. And honestly, I partially got it for the bottle, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But it's actually amazing. And they say to serve it with cucumber, but I actually don't think it's as good with cucumber. But I literally have drunk three, not in the space of a week, but I have drunk three bottles of this already, because I think it's actually better that everyone will know the standard Hendrix gin. Yeah. But this one is actually better, I think. So for those that can see on the video, this is the one. But for those on the podcast who are listening, it's Hendrix Luna Gin.
Oh, and obviously nice.
Very in keeping with the theme of the moon. So, and the witchiness. I've just got also a massive collection of Warner Edwards, which I also highly recommend. If they sponsor the podcast, we'd be making it. So, yeah. And I've got some home, like my brother gave me this for Christmas. You know, when you question everything about what he's given you, I'm like, this looks like piss.
What is that?
Apparently it's homebrew cider, but I'm questioning it. I'm really questioning it. And I keep looking at it and I'm like, oh, should I just, I mean, if he listens, I'm really sorry, but I'm keeping it there for now. But part of me is like, do I bin it? I mean, it might be a vote on this, but when you have a jar of cider with just a label scribbled on it, you have to question where it's come from, don't you? Like, yeah. Maybe I should try it on an episode in the future. I can't do it tonight because it'll mix the red wine too much, but yeah.
You could either have a nice little jar of cider on your shelf, or you could just have a jar of piss sat there.
I know, that's why I don't know, because it's a risk. It is a risk to try it, because it could be either.
Doesn't that happen on a program on Netflix? Isn't it you, the guy, the stalker, and doesn't he leave some piss on a shelf?
Yes!
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yes! Oh my God, maybe he's done that, maybe he's a stalker, but he's my brother, so that'd be weird.
So I have set us up a Patreon. So if anyone wants to come on board and support the podcast, you get exclusive bonus content on our Patreon page. And also I have a bunch of She Who Dares podcast stickers to send out. So when you subscribe to the Patreon, you get one through the post, which is good. Which I haven't actually sent you to any either yet. So once I get home, I will actually post you them out. So don't worry. There we go. So that probably rounds up episode one of the She Who Dares podcast. So make sure you subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to us. And make sure you never miss an episode. But in the meantime, make sure you head over to our Patreon page, where we can give you exclusive discounts on yoga classes from Amanda's Vibes and also discounts on our favorite brands. But in the meantime, I guess we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. See you later.